The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Alrighty, well, welcome. Welcome to Thursday afternoon, and we are very, very pleased to announce to you listeners, we have got Premier Kathleen Wynne on the line, and she's going to be talking to us about the budget. Also want to ask her about, you know, how it's going out there, what it's like for her when she's talking to constituents. We know what the polling numbers are saying, but what are actual voters saying to the Premier? Before we get to that conversation, though, as always, we like to have a song related to the conversation. Here, once again, is Randy Newman and Political Science, and we'll have our conversation with Kathleen Wynne right after this.
No one likes us, I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old. Africa's far too hot and Canada's too cold. And South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, babe, to be Italian shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
And that, of course, Randy Newman from 1972. Welcome to the show, Premier.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, I'm very glad to have you here, actually.
Thank you. And I know Lou Rinaldi comes on your show often, and he's one of my favorite people.
He's a great guy, isn't he? As I was telling you before we went to air, and the listeners don't know this either, he comes in here, he puts his feet up, he relaxes, he just has a great time. We always love having Lou in here. How are you doing? It's a great day. What a wonderful spring day you got going on out there.
It's a beautiful day. I had a meeting with some of my staff earlier, and I made us go outside because I think we all think better when we get some fresh air.
That must be the teacher in you, right?
Yeah. Get outside.
Come on, exactly. Kids. We're going to go outside for the lessons this afternoon.
Exactly. I used to love it when that would happen.
Yeah, I know. That was the best part of springtime when I was
a
kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about, if we can, first of all, I want to talk about the budget because, of course, the opposition are all over the budget saying, you know, it doesn't go far enough in this direction. The conservatives are saying it's all tax and spend, typical. Mm-hmm. Now, the listeners know how I feel about it. I mean, the reality is you guys inherited a huge hole. I mean, you're just to the point now where it's gone from being a pit to a relative pothole in the middle of University Avenue at this point.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Dave. We We have, we've been recovering from the economic downturn. You know, Ontario was hit pretty hard in 2008, 2009, and we've been managing the finances of the province, and at the same time, we've been investing. We knew we had to do that. We knew that we had to build roads and bridges, hospitals and schools. You know, there's a lot of building that's going on around the province, but we also knew that we had to get the books balanced. So this budget is the first balanced budget in almost a decade, and for me, what balancing the budget means is that we actually have the opportunity to support people, because even though the economy is growing, Dave, you know, we're leading the country in economic growth. Our unemployment rate has been below the national average for months now, and the province is doing well. But there are people and there are parts of the province that are not feeling it in the same way as other parts of the province.
And so, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not evenly spread. That well-being is not evenly spread. So this budget is about making sure that we make the investments that need to be made at this point. Now that we have the budget in balance, we need to keep it in balance. The debt to GDP is going down, but there are things that are needed. So you'll see in our budget that we are investing in health care. I mean, we are investing in hospitals, we're investing in supports for community care, we're investing in mental health care, and we're investing in giving kids and young people from 0 to age 25 free medication starting in January of 2018. So OHIP Plus PharmaCare is going to change a lot of families' lives, because they won't have to pay for medication for their kids, and that's going to mean a lighter burden for them and on their family budgets. And
one of the pushbacks that you're getting on that, though, you're getting it from the NDP. They're saying you're not going far enough. The Conservatives are complaining that what you're doing is you're giving coverage to people who already have coverage. So for some people, it's not advantageous for you to do that. But that's not really what's happening, is it?
No, the thing is, most people. The majority of people don't have a drug plan. You know, they're not...
70% of new jobs created in this province do not include benefits.
Do not have benefits. So so that's a huge factor. It's not as though everybody's working for a company that has a drug or, as you say, a broader benefit plan, or even a pension, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
So we know that this is needed. There's a national conversation about PharmaCare, and you know, we made a decision to move in this direction to answer what you said about the Conservatives. I mean, we believe in universal health care, so nobody has to do a means test or an income test to qualify for a hip replacement, you know. So we either believe in universal health care or not, and we do. And so this is universal access for kids. The reality is that we are offering in the OHIP Plus plan, kids and young people from 0 to their 25th birthday will have access to 4,400 drugs. So all of the drugs, all of the medications that they could need, including cancer medication, including medication for rare diseases. What the NDP had put on the table was drugs for everybody, but only 125 medications.
Yeah.
So, you know, we agree that it would be great for everybody to be covered, and I see this as a big step in that direction, Dave. And we need a national PharmaCare plan. There's no doubt about that. Our Minister of Health, Eric Hoskins, makes that point, has led that discussion at the table with his colleague health ministers from across the country, and we will continue to push for that. The fact is that this is a big step in the right direction, and it covers kids and young people for all of the medications that they might need.
Well, we know any major change in this country has always happened at the provincial level. I mean, we wouldn't have universal health care in this country if it hadn't happened in Saskatchewan first.
Exactly.
So this could be the step forward. But one of the problems, of course, we have in this country is we have a federal government that has been doing everything they can for the last almost 25 years, really, to kind of extricate themselves from their health care obligations. I mean, you know, I remember speaking to the health minister in Paul Martin's government, Carolyn Bennett, actually, when she came to my coffee shop one day, and I said to her, you know, if you want my vote, then, you know, you guys will pay 50 cents on the dollar for health care, at which point she tried to tell me they do.
Well, and that's absolutely the challenge that we're facing, because right now they're paying about 23 cents.
At best.
And the accord that the agreement that was just put in place is designed so that after 10 years it will actually go down to 20 cents on the dollar. So that was one of the reasons that we said, Dave, that we are actually not supportive of. I mean, we knew we needed to work with the federal government, and I'm glad to see that there's targeted money for mental health and targeted money for community care, but the overall relationship on health has not been, as you say, has not been what the original deal was. And I don't think we'll ever get back to 50-50, but it would be great to get above 25%.
Well, you know, some people are saying, and I've talked to them a lot on my program anyway, they're talking about how the federal and provincial governments should be financing themselves through the Bank of Canada, rather than, you know, the major charter banks out there, whoever's doing your financing right now. Uh-huh. Is that something you've thought of as the premier? I mean, from what I understand, according to the Bank Act anyway, all you really need to do is put a request into the Bank of Canada. They can't deny you, and you can borrow as much as 33% of your GDP, your provincial earnings. Is that something you've thought
about?
Well,
you know what? I know that that's something that people have talked to the Minister of Finance about. I mean, the fact is that lending rates have been pretty low. So, we've been in a good position. And in fact, we've locked in a lot of the borrowing to a very, very low interest rate. So, we've been in a good position in that way. The reality is that we have to find ways to make sure that our revenue stream and our debt and our expenses are balanced. And I know that there's a concern about the accumulated debt. The fact is that our debt to GDP, because our GDP is growing, because we are doing well, then we're seeing that debt to GDP, that ratio, go down. And that's what we're focused on.
Right. Well, what are you hearing from people out there? I mean, the polls right now have you really in low numbers right now. I'm not even sure what the latest polls are, and I don't care. I mean, like Diefenbaker said, polls are good for dogs.
Yeah.
Right?
The only one that counts.
And the only one that counts is the one at the ballot box.
Yeah.
What are you hearing out there, though? I mean, obviously, the mainstream media, for whatever reason, they're covering it entirely differently, but that's their job, to sell papers.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from constituents?
Well, what I'm hearing, Dave, is just what I said off the top, that people feel that there are, whether they are in that group or not, people are feeling that there are people who have been left behind. And some of the people that I talk to, because I travel the province, I'm going to the north next week, and I was in eastern Ontario in the areas where there's flooding just a number of days ago. And I hear from people that they understand that the province is doing well, but their neighbors not necessarily feeling it, or their kids not necessarily feeling it, And so when I talk to folks about the reality that we're putting free tuition in place as of this September for kids who are from really low and low middle income families, that makes a huge difference to people, They want to know that we are acknowledging that there's a challenge. I still hear about electricity rates. I know that people haven't seen the 25% reduction yet on their bills. They will by summer. But people are still saying to me, you know what? It's hard for me to pay my electricity bill, and I need some help from you. And I hope what you're doing is going to be real. And they're looking for that. So I think that there is a lot of uncertainty, and we hear it expressed in people's anxiety about their own lives and their own families. I also think, Dave, that what's happening in the United States, and we talked about a little bit about this before, what's happening in the United States makes people feel even more unsure. They wonder what's coming. They wonder, given that we've had such a good, strong relationship with the United States, how that's going to play out, given the unpredictability of the new president. So I at that point I let people know that we are working very hard. We managed to have a victory in New York State, where we went down to New York State. There was a Buy America clause that would have really been hard on jobs in Ontario and companies in Ontario, but it would have been hard on jobs and companies in New York too, and we made that case,
mm-hmm.
and they pulled that Buy America clause from their budget. So we're being very vigilant on all of these fronts because we know that people are feeling uncertain, and we want to make sure that that A, they know that we are putting in place supports for them, whether it's free tuition or whether it's the PharmaCare or whether it's reduced electricity bills. That's the fair thing to do, but we're also working for them in the states to make sure that that everyone in the states, I'm talking to governors every week to reinforce that we're partners and we need to stay partners. It's in our mutual best interest.
No, that's absolute. And of course, you're having the same, I'm sure, down in Pennsylvania and Ohio as well, and Michigan. I mean, all of those states who benefit greatly from what we bring and what we share across borders.
Well, and there are a lot of businesses in Northumberland and along the 401 in Lewes territory that depend on that, for example, the auto supply chain or the manufacturing supply
mm-hmm.
chain, you know? And we want to make sure that, for example, the governor of Michigan understands how integrated our economy is. And I have to tell you, he does. And the governors I've talked to, and most of them have been Republican governors, they really get it, Dave. They really understand that, you know, an automobile crosses the border 7 or 8 times in order to be finished. So that means jobs in Michigan.
Right.
It means jobs in Ontario. And so we are... We're really building those relationships and reinforcing them in this particular uncertain time.
True enough. Well, one of the conditions, I mean, your promise is already starting to look at this right now with the new rules that you're looking at for employment, the new employment standards in the province.
Yes.
One of the concerns that is huge right now, especially for youth. I have a son who's 25. He can't find a job. He's living in Toronto. There's really the problem here is we've got what's called, what I like to call anyway, on-time employment or just-in-time
yeah.
employment, where they just call you when they need you, but when they don't need you, I mean, I don't know what employers expect. Do they expect that people are just going to sit up on a shelf somewhere and
yeah.
when you need
very
them?
Very unrealistic. So we're looking at temp work. We're looking at what part-time and full-time employees are paid. You'll see in the next very short while the report come out on the precarious workplace. You know,
mm-hmm.
we did it. We've done this review and really look forward to being able to talk about the recommendations with the people of the province. But we commissioned that report on the contemporary workforce to actually get a handle on what we need to do as a government
mm-hmm.
to make work more secure, to make sure that people are treated fairly in the workplace. And, you know, that's going to be a really good discussion because it is, I hear that all the time, Dave.
Well, I think it's, because something like that would affect job safety as well. Because, you know, one of the things I've always loved about this province is if you feel you're not going to be safe to do something, you can say to your employer, hey, I'm not doing that. It's not safe. But the way employment is right now, I mean, the employer will just say, fine, I'll just get someone else who will do it. Someone else will do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do we get around? I mean, I know it's not the province's job. Nobody wants the province to be a nanny, as it were, right? You don't want that. But how is it that you can encourage employers or at least get these people to realize that? Because let's face it, without good paying jobs, the consumers are gone. Without consumers, the economy draws to a halt.
Well, and that's why we did this workplace review, because we haven't made in this province changes for years in terms of employment standards and labor relations. You know, there's been a really long period of time when we
mm-hmm.
haven't looked at these things. And we have to balance, you know, we have to balance the needs of employers and the needs of employees, and that's going to be the challenge. You'll see when the report comes out and the recommendations come out, you're going to hear both sides of the argument. You know, you're going to hear employers making their case, and you're going to hear employees saying, yes, but we need to see these changes. And as a government, what we're trying to do is take the recommendations and implement the recommendations that are going to most have an impact on people's ability to get decent work and have a fair workplace. And so that I think is our job as government, is to evolve our rules and regulations and our laws along with the economy. You know, there's no point in having rules around the workplace or labor relations without acknowledging that the workplace has changed, that those relationships have changed, and so you'll see a pretty energetic discussion over the next few weeks, Dave, as we look at the changes that we might make.
So what do you say to struggling Ontarians then right now who are trying to find work? Maybe they're just in their mid to late 20s, kids who've graduated. I mean, we can't just continue to tell them to just hang in there.
No. And what I would say to them is a couple of things. We want to make sure that you can earn a fair wage. We want to make sure that you are going to, when you get a job, that it's going to be a decent job. We're in the meantime, as you look for a job, we are working to bring more business to this province. I mean, we are creating jobs at a higher rate than other provinces, and we will continue to work to do that. If you're a young person who hasn't graduated yet from college, or university, or a training program, we're going to pay your tuition if you can't afford to pay your tuition, and we're going to help your family in that way. And, you know, we're going to make sure that you get a break on medication starting in January. So all of those things, Dave, are designed to help young people, to help their families to get along. And the most important thing that we can do is to continue to invest in companies, to support companies, to create opportunities for those kids to get jobs.
Well, the one last thing I want to talk to you about, and I know you got to go, and I'm really hogging your time. The one last thing I want to ask you about is housing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was decades ago when the provincial government, it seemed to, I mean, I remember when Mike Harris downloaded social housing to the municipalities and basically left them in a huge hole. We are seeing that. What we've seen of late is there has been no desire to build affordable housing. Developers don't want to build affordable housing. One of the things I've suggested, I mean, I remember growing up in Toronto when the province would buy vacant houses. And they used to have what was called a scatter home program. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Premier.
I don't remember that.
The province was buying homes in neighborhoods. So it was, you know, just a neighborhood. Uh-huh. And if a house came up for sale, the province would buy it. They would make that a geared-to-income residence,
uh-huh,
just like would be affordable housing.
Right.
But it would be in neighborhoods so that you weren't building, you know, a poverty center.
Right.
What you're doing is buying homes that were coming on the market. And then they would just be perpetually geared to income.
So you know, I completely agree with that. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're putting $925 million over 3 years in rent support for people. So that essentially does what you're talking about, Dave.
Okay.
It allows people to live where they choose to with some support for the rent, without building, as you say, a purpose-built social housing building, but actually giving them that opportunity to get rent support, and that money is also for other services to prevent homelessness in the first place. And we're giving that money to municipalities to allow them to spend it in their communities in the way that makes most sense for them. So that philosophy that yes, we need more affordable housing to be built, and we are providing provincial land. It was one of the things in the budget that we're gonna leverage provincial land to allow affordable housing to be built. But that's not going to completely solve the problem, and so that's why allowing for rent supplements and these other supports has to be part of the solution.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And those are programs run through the Ministry of Community and Social Services?
Well, actually, some of them are through the Ministry of Housing. We have a standalone Ministry of Housing now.
Right.
But also through the municipalities, because these are partnerships between the provincial government and the municipalities.
Right. So, again, so for people who are questioning this, I guess you can contact the ministry directly, or you can, if you go to Community and Social Services, they'll be able to direct you to
absolutely
the appropriate service, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds amazing. And you know, I mean, in my humble opinion, I've looked around the landscape, I got to say, and some people have said to me, you're a liberal shell, Glover, I know you are. And I'm like, you know, the reality is, I'm for whoever's willing to do what's in the best interest of the voters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from that camp. You know, I know corporations can't vote. A lot of people are concerned about the input from corporations and you know, whether or not they have undue influence on provincial governments. That's why I tell people vote, vote, vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the most important thing that you can do. And give your elected representatives feedback. I mean, no government is going to be perfect, Dave. And, you know, our society is complex. And I would suggest it's getting even more complex, especially for young people, as they, you know, we're in a revolution around technology. There's a huge pace of change that's happening. And kids ask me all the time, what's the best thing for them to do in order to prepare for the work world? And I just say, get as much experience as you can. Do different things, you know, because you're not going to do one thing throughout your life, and you need to have transferable skills. So government's role is to put those conditions in place that are going to allow people to get the supports that they need as young people, they prepare themselves for the work world, but recognize that there are families that are going to need support. You know, it's one of the reasons that we're putting in place a basic income pilot, because we need to understand whether there are different ways that we should be supporting people in the province. Mm-hmm. And so we need to help people to explore that avenue and see if there's a different way of doing things. That's what government exists to do, and so it's an honor. It's really an honor to serve in this role and to work with a great team with people on it like Lou Rinaldi.
Absolutely. Well, Premier, I know we've run out of time. We've gone over our time, actually. I want to thank you for being available to us. Perhaps during the summer you can swing by the studio one of these days, and we'll actually have you in here in the studio, and you can kick your feet up just like Lou does.
I can take my shoes off?
There you go. Absolutely.
I'd love to do that. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Kathleen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was the Premier for the province of Ontario, the Premier Kathleen Wynne, here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. We did, unfortunately, suspend our last break, so we're going to go to our first break of the hour. And when we come back, some Rick Astley on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. And just to let you know, any information you would like regarding anything the provincial government is doing, you can always go to the Government of Ontario website, and they would be happy to direct you to where you need to go. Coming up at 5:15 or so, I have the minister. The Minister for Children and Youth Services is going to be giving us a call a little after 5 o'clock. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And I hope you are too. The minister is Michael Couteau, the Minister for Children and Youth Services. As I say, he's going to be talking to me about expanding services for youth and children with autism.